Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, pretty good show tonight. We've got Resident Alien. We've got Andor. We've got She-Hulk. We've got Quantum Leap. We have the House of the Dragon, and I think the girls are going to give a quick rundown of the last couple episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead. So, they should be here shortly, and then we'll get started. And, what have I been, oh, I started watching this show on Hulu original series called Reboot. Friggin' hilarious. Obviously, it's making fun of reboots and revivals and whatnot. So it is pretty funny. It's got stars Johnny Knoxville, Paul Reiser, Judy Greer, and what's this? Oh my God, I'm blanking. My bad. Sorry, apologies. Such a wonderful host that I am. I can't remember people's names. Am I calling Keegan? No. I knew the Keegan part. Couldn't remember. Rachel Bloom's in it. So it's funny. Yeah, it. Where else? I've watched the first episode of Welcome to Welcome to Wrexham. And on that note, I have a co-host.
Hello.
Hello, Jamie.
How are you?
Good. You sound exhausted.
I am. I'm trying to fix my website. It is not working. And I've been on that all day.
What did you do to it?
I didn't do anything. The place that hosts my website upgraded the server. I did not realize it because I didn't see the email. And they say they can't undo it and roll it back. And it screwed up everything. And I don't know what the heck I'm going to do because I looked up places that might be able to fix it. And so far I found one that will charge me $480 minimum. Yeah, I don't have that. So,
if it's the update, the for you?
Well, you're going in and out.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm still pissed at my site.
I know. So is the site down or is it just acting up?
No, it's down. They upgraded the server and screwed it up, and of course won't take blame for it, won't fix it. And I was just telling AJ, I found one place that'll help me for $480 minimum. That's a lot of money I don't have. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Rough.
Yeah, that's
trying
ridiculous.
To figure out what to do, but that's neither here nor there. That's something.
Oh well,
to
I hope
out.
The site will be up again though soon.
Yes, I hope so, too. But meanwhile, I hope that everybody will just, you know, bear with me, realize that I'm doing this on my own, and it's a lot of reading forums and trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do. In the meantime, the newest interview is up on YouTube. It sucks because yesterday I put up the interview. I went and I hit publish, and, like, it literally, like, 30 seconds after I did that was when they did it.
Oh, no.
I didn't even get the interview up, but it's on YouTube. It's
what is it?
Not,
who is the new interview on YouTube?
It was with the producers of Serpent Queen.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So it's on on YouTube at any rate, but it's not, you can't read the article right yet. But at least I got it up.
Great.
Yeah, because I have a bunch of stuff I got to get up and trying to figure out what to do with it. I might just reinstall from fresh and at least get something up, and, you know, it might just look like for a while, but we'll see.
All right. Sorry for that noise.
All right.
Alrighty, so we got a bunch of stuff tonight, huh?
Yes. So do you guys have the last, do you guys want to give an overview of the last few episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead?
Oh, I didn't. I did not see it yet because I was doing that.
Okay, I didn't know. I remember Karen had mentioned maybe doing that, so that's fine.
I mean, I don't know.
I wasn't sure.
What episode did you get up to, Jamie? What was the last one you saw? Did you get up to E5?
Four.
There's only six.
Four. Yeah, I saw two more.
All right. Well, I watched all six. I watched the last one this past week. We can talk about it. Recap it. Another time.
Yeah, sure. What did you think of? Oh, okay. If you want to talk about another time, that's okay too.
I mean, I watched.
All right. Well,
you know.
That's fine. So, what do we want to talk about? Resident Alien.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that. That sounds good.
Now, like I said, when I saw this episode originally on the screener site, I thought it was the finale. I thought it was really good, but I thought it made a good season finale, too, because I thought it was done. So clearly it worked for me as a season finale, even though it wasn't, and we have one episode left. But what did you guys think? I mean, I did not like they killed Terry O'Quinn's character, but... that being said, I liked a lot of the episode. I liked his interactions with Terminator lady that I'm blanking on her name, but you know who I mean. Sorry? You went out there. Linda Hamilton, yes. I liked him interacting with her. I thought a lot of that was really funny. I liked that... he, you know, helped his baby escape and helped that guy escape, and also how the baby stole the ball in the meantime. I thought a lot of it was funny, and I thought it was pretty good. I don't know. What did you guys think?
Go ahead, Karen.
Pretty good. I have to say I was really not surprised that they killed Terry O'Quinn's character because I didn't really expect Terry O'Quinn to become a major presence or, like, he was always, in my mind, a guest star. Or, I mean, he was everybody's kind of guest star, right? Wasn't surprised they killed him. I thought it was maybe a little soon. They could have kept him a little longer. And it was a little, like, I mean, he died in service to Harry's story, right? Like, for Harry, in order for Harry to bond with his son, they killed Terry O'Quinn's son in order for Harry to accept his own son, kind of, right?
They killed the father's son, but yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. They killed Terry O'Quinn, so that, you know, it really in service to Harry and his son's storyline, right? I think they could have kept him a little bit longer. It was,
yeah,
I think they could have done a lot with a character who knows a lot about aliens. I enjoyed that one scene between Terry O'Quinn and Linda Hamilton was kind of awesome, where he's like, I have an alien, you don't. She's like, I'm not telling.
I know. That was funny.
I don't always love the Harry voiceover and the Harry learning a lesson of the week. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes, like this week, I thought maybe it was a little simplified and a little much. But, I mean, I guess we're all glad. We've talked about this before. I know AJ's mentioned it, I think. If Harry's child is half human, why does it look 100% Harry? And not, like, I don't get, the mother was human, right? Or did Goliath lay the egg himself?
That's what I had questioned. It sounded
that's not clear.
They die, that they reproduce on their own. But it is not clear at all. So,
like maybe
I don't
Goliath
know.
It could be on his own, right? And just laid the egg himself?
Yeah.
Like some reptile can do that.
Yeah, like a worm or whatever. They could be hermaphroditic. He says something like, when I was under the impression from what he said that it's like what happens when they die, they create a new life. But it, again, it was not thoroughly explained. So I'm unsure too.
Yeah. So the part that I really did not appreciate so much was the Mayor Ben storyline. And we've got this bit where Ben is out of nowhere, he starts sleepwalking, right? And I really, for a minute, thought, oh, is he being abducted? Is there an alien connection? Like, what's going on here? And there's really no reason other than to force the car accident, to force him and Kate, his wife, like, for her to be like, oh, let's stop fighting over Kate. So I felt like that was sort of contrived. And I also really didn't like the idea that Kate's going to basically give up this thing she's passionate about because of her husband's, like, very minor health. Okay, he had an accident. It's scary, but, like, I don't know. I don't love having Kate give up her passion. Is she giving up the lawsuit so that Ben can sleep better at night? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm just,
but,
like, Kate is,
we,
like,
has she said she's given it up, though, or are we just assuming?
I don't know. I can't really remember what happened at the end, but I felt like she was, like, obviously not talking about it in the house didn't work, right? That happened last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they're stifling her so bad. Like, she's a brilliant lawyer. She's so frustrated. She gave up everything to live in his little stupid town. And, I mean, not stupid, but she gave up a lot to live in patience with him. And they're stifling her. So I didn't really love that she was,
I
like,
feel like
he's concerned about your husband.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like he's going to realize with all the people in the town came to see him and that they all like him. I think he'll probably realize that the town's pretty great and they don't need to do that. At least that's my guess, and then everybody's happy.
That's great, but they're kind of robbing Kate of the opportunity to, like, see, like there was a storyline where she was frustrated that she sort of, like, didn't pursue her passion and she could be a lawyer. But I think she's a little frustrated being, like, she loves her son, she loves her husband, whatever, but, right? And there's a part, I know that Ben is a more essential character. To me, I was like, can we let this woman, like, have a win? But no, we got to have. And I also felt like, did you guys feel like, what's with the sleepwalking? This came out of nowhere all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had a theory at the beginning of the episode when it first started. All of a sudden, I was wrong, obviously, but all of a sudden I said to Artie, I was like, how much do we know about Ben's childhood? Like, we know he grew up in patience and everything, and he had a mother and father, but what do we really actually factually know about him? Like, all of a sudden I started thinking, I was like, it's just like this show to twist it so that I actually thought for a minute that Ben was going to turn out to be Peter's son.
Terry O'Quinn's son. Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah. I was
for just a minute,
he's talking about, you know, like his dream sounded like, you know, a visit with his parent, you know what I mean? Like, it just all, the way it all sounded, maybe that's what they wanted us to think, I don't know. But just for a second, and then obviously it turned out that it wasn't his son, because his son was being held captive by, the general, which I have no idea how she ended up with him.
Right? Like, if he was abducted by aliens,
yeah.
How did he come into her possession, right?
Yeah.
Possession, captivity.
So there was that. You're right, Karen. The whole Ben thing, it was like almost like it was just to give us an excuse for the, you know, they had a, give him this whole backstory of sleepwalking as a kid instead of just, you know what, he's been tired, he fell asleep at the wheel, and, you know, that would have been enough.
Yeah.
I kind of get Kate in the moment. She's scared for Ben, so, yeah, she says that. But he does say, he tells her he doesn't want her to give up. You know, so... And then, of course, the whole town is, you know, coming to see him to show Ben, look, you're actually, everybody loves you, Ben. You don't think so, but, And then you got that funny image of Judy running back and forth because she wants to go back outside and finish her beer. The Harry and Peter stuff was great. It's exactly what I said last week, that they needed to work together. I wasn't surprised that they killed off Terry O'Quinn. One thing that I am wondering, though, and I didn't start thinking about it until, you know, about halfway through this episode, I was like, wait a minute, where's his wife? Like, did he become so obsessed that she left him? Did she die? Like, where is she? Is she going to be introduced now? Peter's.
The alien hunter.
Oh, Peter's
yeah.
wife. I feel like
yeah.
maybe they said something about her, but I don't know.
If they did, I don't remember.
Died, but I don't remember.
I think what will happen, like, now Harry has taken responsibility for the son by rescuing him, and if that guy becoming a character one episode to go, are they going to make him part of the ongoing storyline, or will he be dispensed with next week also? Right. Like, I rescued you. Go on with the three. Thank you. That could happen.
Maybe the mother isn't dead. Maybe he'll go find the mother and live happily ever after.
Yeah, who knows. The Harry family moment was cute. I love how they inadvertently don't give us the rest of the message. They purposely cut away from it. So hopefully we'll get more of that next week, or they're going to save that for next season.
Part of Harry's purpose of breaking in there with Peter, Harry said, like, I want to go there and learn more about the Greys, and that definitely did not happen in this episode, right?
Well, he did, but they just didn't tell us.
Yeah.
He got...
You know what, though? Peter's son might know, though, if he's been kidnapped that many times and taken back and forth. Or,
yep.
Well, actually, I can't say that the story was back and forth. But if he's been there for that long a time, maybe he has the information to give to him, you know?
Well, and so that guy, in the middle of the breakout, there was that soldier guy who did, like, a telepathic communication to the son, right? Or a mind control thing to the son. And he was like, you don't belong with them. So he's a, like, well, here's the thing. I was like, is he a Grey in disguise? Probably. But I was a little bit like, ooh, is this like the men with ghosts? Is this government, like, spent years trying to do mind control, right? Like, that's another, like, I was like, oh, is it MKUltra? He's probably a Grey in disguise. You're right. Which I like, but don't like, because,
well,
you know, I don't love
the idea that he's supposed to be an alien.
Well, we already knew that.
We already knew that, Karen. He was an alien.
Yeah.
We knew that mind control guy we've seen before. I didn't recognize him.
No, but we knew he was an alien because he's the one from Dollhouse. That's how I know that. At the very, very beginning of the season.
He's the one that
shot,
whenever
they were saying there was another alien ring.
He's the one that shot Sam Hodges?
No, he's the one that shot Bad Mulder. He shot Bad Mulder.
Oh, he's the guy that shot Bad Mulder. I didn't recognize him. Because, you know, I only give the show, like, 50% of my attention when I watch it. he shot Bad Mulder. Okay, yeah. He's a Grey in disguise, yeah. So there was this whole, like, side story about Darcy is staying with Asta and her dad, and Asta really, I felt like Asta wants to get rid of her, and I kind of felt like she's your BFF for, like, your entire life. She struggled with addiction. She has no place to go with her boyfriend. She's been in her house for 5 minutes, and Asta's like, you got to go and stand on your own 2 feet. I thought Asta was being a little, unless the timeline is a little off and she's actually been there for like a month, but I felt like, wow.
It's been a couple days.
It's been a couple days and Asta's already over it. And I was like, really? Asta, that's not cool. But I did enjoy how Asta's like, she needs to get her own place and move on. And then Asta's just like, yeah, you really do. And kicks her out. It was kind of hilarious, but kind of.
That was funny.
Yeah, that
was pretty funny. You know, I almost feel like that's one thing about this show I hate, and they do it all the time, is something happens to create something else. First of all, Darcy kicked pills in 3 days. Yeah. Like you said, Asta's like, okay, you gotta get back on your feet. Go, come on, you know, go to the bar, go to work, go do something, you know. And then, like you said, Dan says to Asta, you're right, you should move out. And then the two of them are laying in the bed talking, and, you know, they're going to be roommates now, which is makes perfect sense. But I almost feel like all of this was to get to that.
Right, like they gave Darcy this boyfriend, this addiction, and, like, Darcy's entire story was, it in fact, in service to get Asta out of her own house, right? Which is kind of not cool.
Right, and to get the two of them a place together, which, but, I mean, this whole Darcy storyline, I have hated it since it started. And I'm glad it's over, essentially, but it was over off screen and 3 days. I would love to meet people that can kick an addiction in 3 days. Like, that's impressive.
And then 3 days after that, Asta's like, go back to work in the bar. You're an
yeah.
addict. You got off pill 3 days ago. Go back to the bar. What? It was a little,
yeah.
You know, but that's because it was really bad Asta. It's actually kind of surprising that these two have never been roommates before. Like, they're like, what are they, 27,
yeah,
20, 32, whatever, and they're not, never
yeah.
been roommates before. But that could be a fun thing next year, them being roommates. It's obviously going to be a disaster.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably.
But, you know, they've written, like, the last six episodes have been, like, major Asta growth. Like, she, you know, there's the Jay thing. Then she meets her mother. Then she, you know, now she's moving out. Like, they've really suddenly accelerated her growth a lot in the back end
yeah.
of the series, right? Back into the series.
Have they, though? Have
know,
they?
Meanwhile, Harry.
She forgave Harry pretty quick.
Oh, that's so annoying, yeah.
All that growth, that takes it back a couple steps.
It does. So I really agree with you, Jamie, that this works really well as a season finale, and I wonder what, like,
yeah.
they could have ended it, and it would be fine, and I wonder what could happen in the next episode.
Yeah, I don't know, because I haven't seen it yet, but, yeah, I was surprised, because I honestly thought, since they didn't give us another one, that was it, and I don't know, it seemed like it could be, definitely. I mean, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I think it would be finale. I wonder what, yeah. Especially, like, you killed Harry O'Quinn, that should be your season finale.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I can really see happening in the next episode, I mean, quite honestly, and they're not going to do it this way because they're going to try and shoehorn in too much. I mean, this whole alien part of things, I could see taking up, it should take up the entire episode. I mean, the major going after, you know, going, she knows they're from Patience, you know, having her bring a bunch of her troops into Patience, the gray in disguise, he's going to be going back after Peter's son. I can see this all converging in some type of hilarious battle in Patience, and Ben losing his mind because, oh my God, why is the military here? Type of
yeah,
thing, you know,
yeah.
and that could be the entire, and that's, I mean, I could, that's what I could see. However, then they're going to try and shoehorn in Darcy's story and Asta's story and Liv's story. And you know what I mean? Like it's,
and the Sheriff Mike's,
it's going to be interesting.
Romance or whatever. Although I think, Sheriff Mike, based on everything that, you know, AJ's thing about alien-wise, I could see, I think maybe the next episode, it's time for Liv to be brought into the truth about aliens. Like, she's been coming so close the last
like
couple
nice.
Episodes. It's time for
yeah,
her to be brought into it, right?
I agree.
I think it's about time for all our main characters and patients to be brought in on it, honestly.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, I'd be really surprised if she did.
I mean,
either her
I could,
or Darcy
I was,
need to find out. I'd prefer it to be Liv out of the two.
I want to see Mike find out. because I can already hear Mike. You know, that actually makes a lot of sense because Harry's always been a little off.
And I think Mike is not a threat. Like, Mike is not, he's not a threat. Like, he's going to try to capture Harry and turn him in or whatever. That's not Mike's interest.
No, Mike's going to ask stupid questions. Mike's going to ask stupid questions. Hey, I see you have teeth when you're in alien form. I see you have teeth over here, too. Do you eat with those teeth, too, or is that just for killing people? Like, Mike's going to ask stupid questions like that. That would be amazing if Mike found out.
I mean, I personally would like to see Ben and Kate not pull it, only because I so enjoy watching the kids try to conceal it from their parents, right? Like, that's really...
That's what this episode was missing.
Fun part.
This episode was missing the kids.
Kids are the best.
Kids would have made it better. Kids better be in the finale.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the kids' storyline is at its best when they're in cahoots with Harry and trying to hide the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. I thought it was, so, you know, I don't always love this. I thought this was a good episode.
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know what it was? Because there was so much going on and it was so relatively fast-paced that they didn't have time to do stupid shit, really.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, you know, AJ and I feel like this is one of those, are we going to have those situations where we're like, this show is getting bad, this show is getting bad. Oh, they nailed the dismount.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a pretty good finale. So, all right.
But unfortunately, it wasn't. So, what do you want to move on to? She-Hulk?
Yeah, see She-Hulk. This is the wedding episode, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone?
Did not love this one.
No?
I mean, I did not love this one. Titania, round two. She-Hulk kicks her ass again. The whole, you know, the bride is like, Jen, this is my day. Don't Hulk out and ruin my day. And then you come to find out that's exactly why the bride wanted her there. Because if you remember the beginning of the episode, Jen's like, we were friends in high school, but I haven't talked to her in like 8 years. I was surprised she's inviting me to her wedding. Yeah, she invited her because she's She-Hulk, knowing that she would probably turn into She-Hulk. And she could go, look, She-Hulk came to my wedding.
Yeah.
The only thing I did enjoy was, I don't know if we ever got his name, and if we did, I don't remember what it was, but I did enjoy one of the groomsmen flirting with Jen. I like that. It's nice to see somebody enjoying Jen for Jen for a change.
Yeah, that guy kind of likes Jen. Yeah, I liked him.
She needs to get more, I'm just going to say, though, she needs to get more clothes that are super clothes or whatever. I thought that, from what she said, the dress she got was supposed to be super, but I guess not.
I like that subplot a lot. I like her going to, like, basically her own Cinna, right? Like, you know, Cinna from The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I like that little plot. I like that character. I thought that was good. And I have complained about those clothes, and I thought it was bad CGI and bad storytelling. And no, actually, they had a point, so I stand corrected, right? I think I'm with AJ. I'm not sure you said exactly this, but I feel like Titania is a little, I need a little more on Titania. Like, I don't understand. Even from last week, we talked about how Titania, like, when she, like, Titania has it in for She-Hulk, right? Titania, like, she didn't just trademark that because she didn't just trademark the name She-Hulk to make money. She did it partly because of her anger or jealousy or whatever's going on there, right? And then this week she shows up at the wedding. It kind of makes no sense that she'd be at this wedding because why does Jen's friend know Titania or whatever? But I don't really get that. But Titania has superpowers, right? Also,
yeah,
she's super strong. I don't know. I don't need her entire backstory. but I don't know where that came from or who she is or why she, like, I don't know. I like the actress, Jamila Jamil. Is that her name? Jamila Jamil?
Yeah.
I think.
Yes.
I kind of like Titania. I want to like Titania, but I just am not really getting the whole, I mean, I guess they're holding it back, and AJ, you've read the comics, maybe you understand it better, but like, why there's this jealousy? I mean, it's not like, Titania is not unattractive. It's not like She-Hulk is hotter than Titania. She's an attractive mutant, or whatever she is, right? An attractive whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she such a jerk? And I don't know.
What they're doing. I'm guessing
okay.
That's where it's going. My disappointment with the episode is I thought by now we'd have some kind of story. Like, this is all that, I mean, each
really
story progressed, but it's all been sitcom-y, and I was not expecting that. I was expecting more like the structure of WandaVision, which is
like
that
there's an actual story arc that seemed to be progressing through these episodes.
Yeah, I mean the only
story.
The only story arc we're really getting is the Titania stuff, which I feel it's been kind of lame.
Yeah, or not making sense,
so,
or not
I mean,
developed as much as we'd like to see, or whatever, yeah.
I mean, we got three episodes left, so maybe they'll stick the landing.
Kind of enjoy the whole sequence where Jen is, like, having a bad time at the wedding, and she's like, whatever, I'm going to get drunk and dance. Like, I found that to be really...
That was funny.
I don't know. I've been to a lot of weddings. I've been in a lot of weddings. I've never done that, but I kind of felt that there's probably a lot of people watching this show who maybe get that sort of like having a bad time at your friend's wedding thing, right? And being like, whatever, I'm going to, like, I liked all that. Maybe also because, I don't know, Tatiana Maslany was particularly good in that part of the episode, I thought. I don't know. Jamie, how did you like it? You haven't talked that much.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it enough. I mean, I agree with AJ. There's not enough of a, you know, story thread through it, mainly because they haven't really told the point of why Titania doesn't like her. Especially with us not getting very many episodes, it feels like it doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that it isn't good. I'm enjoying each one, but there's no backstory. There's no, you know, thread. No continuity.
There's no there.
I mean, there's continuity, but you know what I mean. There's no mythology in there.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's no story. There's no story. It's like a series of vignettes about her life, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's no stakes or consequences, right? There's no, like, Titania.
I think that's the problem right there. That's the perfect way to put it, Karen.
And there's no stakes. There's no, Titania is not a credible threat to She-Hulk, really, because she's comedic and inept, right? And there's not even the normal tension of, like, oh, could Jen lose her job? Like, I'm not worried about that either, right? That's not a credible problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we have no tension coming out of this story. Nothing to worry about. And there's none really within No, go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
It's not like a normal sitcom where at least within that 30 minutes there's like some sort of... I mean, the 30-minute story is not all that compelling, right? Go to a wedding, have a bad time.
I was just going to say, I really enjoyed the side story with what that guy call himself? The Immortal. That was
the Immortal,
funny.
Yeah, that guy was kind of a...
I enjoyed the two lawyers.
The case of the week, the legal case of the week.
Yeah.
I think the problem
While they...
Go ahead, Jamie.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, the problem is
go ahead,
the case of the week, stories are good, but unless you have like 20 episodes,
Like, we don't want Case of the Week, not for a Marvel show. Another show maybe, but not a Marvel show.
Right.
That's
totally fair, yeah.
What I was going to say about that, though, that was it was really entertaining watching the two of them defend him while not defending him. It was like they found a way, you know, they found a way for everybody to be happy, you know, and still. Yeah, it's like they made their client pay twice. They made him pay him, you know, money to defend him, but then they made him, you know,
pay all his wives.
Do the right thing by all his wives. I mean, that was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
I enjoyed that whole thing.
I did, and I kind of enjoyed that Jen was not there, and they allowed, like, I forget the name of her assistant, who I do like as a character, and, you know, I liked her get, I mean, I shouldn't want to see her, she's the assistant, Jen is the star, so she shouldn't always be the front, but I enjoyed seeing her get her moment to be, you know, to figure this out, solve it, working with their boss, like, I don't know, I don't want to say this, but, like, those two they were more interesting in this episode, like, that was maybe the more interesting storyline than Jim having a bad time at a wedding, right? And Titania randomly showing up for no reason and being mad for no reason. Like, that, the Immortus storyline was kind of better. Like, I kind of wondered how that was going to end.
Yeah.
And I like the way they solved it. Which is maybe not cool. Maybe that's not what is supposed to be happening on the show, right?
Yeah. You're right.
So maybe there's a few more episodes to go. Maybe they'll, like, whip it together. But
yeah, hopefully the next three.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, as far as I know, it's not renewed. As far as I know, it's not supposed to be renewed. A lot of these Marvel shows are coming out to be, like, one and done kind of things, right? But I'm assuming She-Hulk is an addition to the next phase of the MCU. And she may not get a movie, but she may appear in a movie, right? I haven't followed the next MCU phase.
I've got to believe that she's going to be featured in any of the ensemble movies, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure she'll be part of taking Kang down.
Oh, yeah.
So, since we're on our Marvel kick at the moment, I meant to text you guys the link earlier, and I forgot. I'll do it in a little bit, and you guys watch it later. But Ryan Reynolds, I've always liked Ryan Reynolds, and I loved him even more once he started playing Deadpool. And since he's just, I want to be his friend. I want him as a friend. He seems like the coolest person on the planet. So today, out of nowhere, he drops a video on it was either Instagram or Twitter. I'm not sure which one, honestly. I forget which one it was. I think it was Twitter, actually. Drops a video talking about how he's sorry that they didn't make it to D23, and he's talking about not knowing what he's doing with Deadpool 3, that they're trying to figure things out, but he has no idea when it's going to be out or what they're going to do and everything. And then in the background, you see somebody walk, he's sitting on a couch and you see somebody walking by in the background. I'm like, you can't really see who it is in the video. And then he goes, "Hey Hugh, you want to play Wolverine one more time?" "Yeah, sure. Why not?"
No.
Yes. So Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman in a, you know, their typical way, out of nowhere, just announced that Deadpool 3 is going to have Wolverine in it, and Hugh Jackman will be playing Wolverine.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yep. And then it does some other stuff. It fades to black, and then it pulls the Wolverine the Deadpool logo forward and gets slashed with claws, and then it goes back to black and it says 9 I think the 23rd, 9/23/24. So we know in September of 2020. Yep, 2024, we are getting Deadpool 3 in September. So
great.
2 years from now.
That's a movie that didn't even start shooting yet, probably. Wow.
They haven't. I was so excited. But the funny thing about it is Blake Lively, who was recently announced that they're pregnant again, she was having a problem with paparazzi at her house, all trying to get the first picture of her being pregnant. So she beat them to the punch, and she posted a bunch of pics of herself to Instagram.
Right.
Yeah. One of those pics that she posted was Ryan Reynolds in his new Deadpool costume. And I didn't catch it at first until I saw somebody mention it online. And then he drops this
so
today.
So slick. Wow.
Yeah, they are. Especially those two. But anyway, so yeah. So I am extremely excited. I'm like, I got to wait 2 years, though. But I'm very excited. Yeah, right? I cannot wait. But that's a hell of a way to announce it to everybody. Typical Ryan Reynolds fashion. So.
Awesome.
What would you guys like to talk about next? Andor?
All right.
Or Quantum Leap?
No, let's do Quantum Leap because I haven't watched Andor.
Oh, you haven't watched Andor?
All right.
Okay. Quantum Leap it is. You go first.
I only watched part of the episode, so I'll probably sit quietly while you guys do most of this talking.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was a good
How far
episode.
Did you get, Karen?
10.
He was on the space shuttle, and he had to go out and do a spacewalk. He was very nervous about it. There was a lot of talk.
Oh, so you only saw it
for me. I didn't see the climax of it. So
probably only saw like half of the episode. All right.
Yeah.
So you were saying, Jamie?
Go ahead.
I was saying I liked the episode. I thought that it was pretty like tense with story wise trying to save the shuttle. I mean, obviously it's like it wasn't like deep in mythology or anything, but they did have the other storyline going on with Al's daughter. So mm-hmm. I think that was good bringing it in. But I mean, just the overall weekly story I thought was pretty good. And I like kind of how they're handling it and bringing in, you know, the Addison kind of not knowing if she can trust them type of thing, although they didn't drag it out, which I like too. So, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's not the most involved, thoughtful show, obviously. It's like an easy show to watch. It's an easy watching show. But
right.
I enjoyed it, though. For what it was, I enjoyed it. What did you think?
I think I like this week's episode better than last week's, actually. And I think I'm enjoying the real-world stuff the 2022 stuff as opposed to what what the heck's his name?
Ben,
thank you. Except, you know, aside from, you know, the Ben storyline's all right, but I think the stuff going on the outside, because it's very intriguing because there's this whole mystery to what Ben and Al's daughter were up to. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they track her down, and then she calls magic, and, you know, they have this whole tete-a-tete and everything, and it's very – and I'm actually kind of blown away for a minute because, I mean, before they did the show, they must have said, okay – when we do this, how many of the original actors can we get for the show? Because I was kind of surprised when Magic goes to see Al's wife to find out where their daughter is, it's the actress that played Beth in the original series. So I was very happy. I was like, oh, my God, it's Beth. I was very happy about that. There were some good lines in it, actually. He had when Karen, I don't think you got up to this point, but they're trying to get to the mirror station, and they're having trouble. Nobody's answering the phone, so to speak. So he's like, he realizes that they're sleeping, and he's like, "I'm gonna go knock on the door," which I thought was
hilarious. Which was crazy.
What's that?
I said, which was crazy. that he would do that, but it was good.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, there is one thing I kind of have a problem with, though, about this episode. As much as I did enjoy it, and again, this is sort of an easy watching show, so I'm not putting too much, trying not to nitpick it too much, but this is supposed to be in the future, but not way, 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 way necessarily in the future. I don't know that I buy that you can easily, I assume she was like Googling or whatever. I don't know that you could easily look up how to fix a space shuttle in like 5 seconds. But to tell him what to do. But other than that, that's probably something though that you kind of have to kind of ignore through the whole show. You have to be able to help.
She's not Googling though. She has access to like military. You know, remember this is military funded, so she has access to files and stuff that normal people don't.
But people trained for years. It doesn't seem to me to be something that she could just be like, put this here, pull that out there. And like he would
be an astronaut, work on the
I get what you're saying, Jamie, and you're right to a point. But I mean, she could pull. I mean, given the access that she has, she could pull up. She could tell them, "Hey, I need." She could tell Magic, "Hey, you need to call somebody. I need diagrams for, you know, the space shuttle, how to do it." You know what I mean? So I mean, and yeah, there's going to be some disbelief. Like at first, actually, it's funny. At first, when the episode first started, I thought to myself, Ben's going to have to figure this out on his own because, logically speaking, she shouldn't be able to contact him because he's in outer space. But then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what, though? It does work because they have communication with Houston, so it's all electrical. So, yeah, I guess it's not that far of a stretch that she can, you know, she can still find him in outer space. Especially since she's attuned to his brain waves, because that's how the whole hologram thing works.
Kind of works, yeah.
So, but I like juxtaposition of the Ben storyline and the outside world storyline with Addison and the one that was Desire, Ian. It was kind of like Addison and Ian versus Jen and Magic in the episode because, you know, they were working in pairs and then they finally came together at the end. And part of the reason they came together at the end was because whereas Ben doesn't remember anything, but he's hearing the situation, he's still himself. Even though he doesn't remember anything, you know, I guess goes so that, you know, even when you don't remember things, you still at your core are the same person. So he's like, yeah, I wouldn't trust me either, you know? And that kind of helps Addison say, you know what, we need to work together. She's like, Ben agrees with you, Magic. So,
Yeah.
But whereas last week they it was implied that Al's daughter brought Ben in. Now his daughter's saying, Janice is saying, no, Ben came to me. So, and then Karen, you haven't gotten to this point yet, but at the end of the episode, Jen has gotten the hard drive from Janice's place, and the flash drive they found is actually a key to unlock the hard drive, and it brings up this 3D image of all these different possible leaping points, and there's one point that's like blinking, and they're like, that's a specific spot. So I have a theory already, of course, that specific location is like that he's trying to get to is where Sam is.
That's where Sam is.
And of course,
and somehow
it's
they figured
that
it out.
Get to that specific point. Well, they didn't figure that much out. They don't know what this location is. They have no idea. They just see this blinking spot in the middle of all this time, and they're like, "Where is that?" You know, they have no idea.
They don't know where Sam is, but that's what it's going to be.
That's what I think.
I mean, so even though I didn't see the entirety of this episode, I kind of agree with both of you guys that I like the back of the house kind of part is working, and I've been coming in for some criticism online that a lot of people don't like. There's a lot of critics who are like, oh, they're spending way too much time trying to explain to us how this all works and all these people like doing blah, blah, and whatever. And I mean, I agree with you that tension at the back of the house is working. At least it was in this only the second episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I like the team members, and I also like the tension of them not necessarily agreeing and being like, really, can you trust Ben? Are you sure you can trust Ben? And then, like, you know, the way it does seem to be like Ian and the girlfriend, what's her name? Addison against, you know, the other two. I also, you know, I'm not sure I was 100% sold when we saw the opening episode, the premiere, that they decided to make those two a couple, right? Like the original story, they were friends, you know? And it was a friendship between two guys and coworkers, whatever. I was like, oh, they're going to make them be engaged. I wasn't really sure but so far it's pretty good. I mean, it adds a bit of, it adds a bit of depth to the idea that he can't remember anything and mm-hmm. how much it hurts her that he can't remember her in a very different way than for Sam not to remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
So far, two episodes in, to me, that's working okay. I don't share those criticisms necessarily yet. But there are people there seem to be a number of people, writers online, who feel like there's way too much emphasis on the back of the house. I don't know that if you followed the original setup perfectly that it would work, that it would carry over as well. Right? Like,
yeah.
Like audiences are more sophisticated and looking for more mystery and more story and more backstory and more explanation than we were when the original show aired. And
I agree. The way to bring in some mythologies, so it's not all weekly story.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I love the original Quantum Leap, I think what they're doing here, it enhances the overall. And to be honest with you, so far, Ben, I think, is probably the weakest character, and he's your lead character.
Yeah.
So if you had to spend an entire 42 minutes with just Ben, I'm not sure how well the show does. I think adding in all these other elements, because the real-time stuff is the stuff bringing us back to the original, you know? So...
Yeah.
I think critics be damned. I feel like those people are people that want, when you get a reboot or a revival, they want it to be exactly like the other one was because they loved it. Speaking of somebody that loved the original, I like the fact that it's evolved.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows? Had the original show gone on beyond 5 years, maybe it evolved the same way and you start getting more of the outside world, you know? I mean, I don't know, it's two episodes in and people are already complaining about it. You know what? It's the world we live in now. Too many voices. Including ours!
and I sense you're ready to move on from this, but I have to say, I really agree with you that I hadn't thought about it, but Ben is the weakest. Ben is kind of boring. Ben is a really blank slate right now, and Addison's emotional state and feeling and whatever is really the center. Like, I don't feel like, gee, poor Ben, I hope he gets his memory back. I feel like, gee, poor Addison, I hope Ben gets his memory back, right? Right? He's kind of boring, and they don't really have off-the-charts chemistry.
They don't.
And he's kind of boring. He, I mean, granted, he doesn't know anything about himself. He's, you know, this week he was like, oh, wait, I came from Korea? Oh, yeah, I emigrated from Korea. I remember that. Wow. But that was really wasn't about him remembering. It was really about Addison being like, they're like, oh, Ashton, don't let them remember anything else, right? Like, that's really what that's about.
Yeah.
If I had to compare the two shows, I would say, and again, two episodes in, you know, who knows, maybe they're intentionally having Ben kind of be downtrodden, and as the episodes continue, and he maybe starts to get a glimmer of memories here and there, or something sparks a memory, you know, whatever the case is, maybe then he gets a little more interesting. But if you compare him back to Scott Bakula, no matter what he was doing or how out of it Sam was, he always has this charisma, you know? That was a big part of the show, was the charisma that Scott Bakula brought to the character of Sam. And I don't feel like Ben has that yet.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that I question their choice of actors for the role, because it might not be, you know, we don't know yet. But it has to transition at some point, because if this is how he is every episode, I'm gonna see the outside world more. But again, it could be intentional right now. It could very well be intentional at the moment.
Yeah. Maybe he'll get a little more zip going forward.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well.
All right.
That is
up.
All
right.
That's all you've seen?
So I guess I'm done. I'm gonna go.
All right, Jamie.
All right. So we'll catch up on the Rings of Power next week.
Yep. Hopefully.
I'm caught up through last week, but I did not get a chance to watch today's episode. This week's episode. So we'll get a chance with that next week.
All right.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, have a good night, guys.
All right.
Nice, Jamie. Good luck.
Good
night, luck
Jamie.
With the website.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, and talk if anybody
soon.
Listening to this knows Joomla, help me. I'm just putting it out there. Contact me. All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right. Bye. All right.
Night, Jamie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Alrighty.
This brings us to House of the Dragon. Oh, Andor. Let's talk about Andor.
No, let's do Andor first. So, all right. So you hadn't seen all three episodes yet when we first talked through text. What did you think after seeing episode three?
I mean, I thought episode three was better. Like, you and I felt that the first two episodes were pretty boring. And I thought the third episode was better. Was it great? No. Did it really make a ton of sense? Like, I don't know. The story has been... I thought it was better. I thought the third episode, it got a little better, and it started to be like I don't fully, like, get it. Like, this is how he becomes embroiled with the rebellion, because... You know, this buyer shows up and has this ultimate different plan, which also kind of makes no sense either. Like, a lot of it doesn't – a lot of the story to me is not making sense, right? That Alexander Sarsgaard shows up and is like – I'm
no,
like,
that's
wait,
Alan Skarsgård.
Oh, it, yeah. Stellan Skarsgård shows up.
Alexander's a little new.
Yeah. Sorry. But then he shows up, and I'm like, wait a minute, did he show up, and within 5 minutes of meeting Cassian Andor, was like, this guy's so impressive, I got to recruit him to my cause? Or I was like, wait, did he come here? Did he already hear about him, and he came here, like, looking to meet him? Like, I was a little, maybe I should have been paying closer attention, but I was a little confused about, like, even why he,
no,
like, how that even happened.
It was not clear.
Okay, it's not me. But it was better.
Oh, maybe
right?
I should
pay
more attention.
The first two episodes, two episodes were, I was like, what? Why are we watching this show? This is bad. right?
Yeah, the third episode was definitely better and picked up. I think there's like 12 or 18 episodes. I'm not even, I think 12 episodes actually, now that I think about it. And so it's going to be like this. But I get why, you know, when I first heard they're dropping three, I'm like, okay, well, that's because they have 12 episodes, so it makes sense. Now I understand, after seeing all three, this is why they dropped all three episodes, because it's a complete, this part of it is a complete story. This is, you know, where he starts and how, you know, his, I'm guessing where he starts and now he's on his way to join the rebellion.
Yeah.
I was a little annoyed in the third episode. For the first 10 times you see him, you only see the back of Skarsgård's head. And I'm like, ooh, who's that going to be? Who's that going to be? And then it's nobody we've ever seen before. Other than the fact that it's Stellan Skarsgård. Stellan Skarsgård. And if you're going to say it looked like the general from Rogue One, I thought it was for a split second. And then I was like, wait, no, that's Stellan Skarsgård.
Yep. There was that split second when, so there was that moment when I saw the back of the head that I was like, is it Boba Fett? It doesn't really look like Boba Fett's head, but it's kind of like Boba Fett's head, right? And only because, like, I'm struggling to see who this is going to be. And then there was a moment when I thought it was a general, and then I was like, oh, this is a new guy who doesn't really mean anything to us. And I hadn't read about it at all. I mean, you know, it was great to see him. It was great to see Fiona Shaw. Although I have a lot of problems with Fiona Shaw's storyline. Okay, first two episodes could have, like, almost not happened. Like in the first episode, I'm watching this, and I'm like, okay, so here's the story. He has a MacGuffin. Like, it took me, like, at first I was like, wait, what is this thing he has? What? And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, I was, like, kind of trying to figure out what this piece of equipment is that he's trying to, like, wait, what did he say? And then it came to me, like, oh, it's a MacGuffin. It doesn't even matter at all what it is. It has nothing to do with anything. He's got a piece of contraband that he's trying to move, and he's trying to get it off planet. And for some reason, we don't know how he got it. He shouldn't have it. Does it matter? None of it matters, right? It was, that's a little annoying, but whatever, okay. And then we move into this backstory, which I really did not enjoy his backstory on his planet, which is called Kinara or Kinyera or whatever his planet is, right? How did you like all that Cassian Andor backstory stuff?
I feel like it was not needed. I feel like it felt very Lord of the Flies. Like, I didn't understand why there was no, I didn't understand why there was no adults, how all these kids were all together like this, living like savages. He has a sister, and you know, like, it just, and then people, like, I didn't understand it. It didn't, like, I feel like I need more just to understand what it was I watched. And then, and, you know, when you get to the end, they, you know, you realize it's just to show, basically to show how Marin gets him, you know, how she ends up taking care of him. And I thought it was interesting because they tried to pull, I felt like they tried to pull a fast one. I was like it didn't make sense. Like, it took me a second to realize what was going on because, like, he's smashing up the ship, and then you see her, and I'm like, wait, she looks younger. I'm like, wait, is she? And then she's like, they hear noises, and she goes, you know, her partner's like, let's get out of here. And he's like, she's like, no, let's go check it out. I was like, she came out of nowhere. Like, she was just not there, and then she was there. Like, I didn't, the whole backstory thing. And the fact, you know, and I get that, you know, she had no way of knowing that he had a sister and everything. And that's how the whole show starts. He's looking for his sister, and apparently he hears a rumor that she's on, was it Fennec, the planet that they're on now?
Fennec.
I remember
Fennec.
Yeah, Fennec. And that's, you know, he goes to the club there and he's asking about who he thinks might be his sister, which is what starts the whole thing. And then those two idiots that work for the security company and that, you know, the one thing, the second in command of the security company kind of cracked me up because, first of all, he's awful at speeches. And I actually want to see when his boss gets back to smack him upside the head. Like, he tells him,
yeah.
Listen, like his boss had it all figured out. You know, yeah, they work, you know, they work at this company, and yeah, it's a shame they're dead. But guess what? They did it to themselves, and I know that they tried to roll somebody over, they met somebody that wasn't having it, and they paid the price. And, you know, we're going to make up a story that makes them sound like heroes, and that'll be the end of it. But this guy, he's like, oh, that's not the right way. They were one of us. And yeah, how'd that work out for you there, buddy? Which is a classic trope.
But see, here's, I mean, this is a good thing and a problem. I enjoyed that storyline probably the most. And I felt, right, like we see how he, like, progresses through this, and he's obviously very ambitious. Like, he has an idea of what's right and wrong. And I'm not sure, I guess I felt a little bit like, this is a young person's idea of what's right. This is a kid who, I mean, we see how his boss is like, listen, let's not deal with this. We need to, like, make this story happen, blah, blah, blah. This is an experienced guy. This young guy has some righteous indignation about it. He's into something different. But he's also very ambitious, and he's trying to advance himself, right? And he ends up getting 10 guys killed. And I also can't wait for his superior to come. I also feel like, oh, yeah, this is a guy who ends up in the Imperial Guard, right? This is clearly a guy who winds up on the bridge of the Death Star. I can see how this weasel might actually make his way up. And I was really interested in, like, how many of them are going to get killed, what's going to happen to these guys. And I'm like, wait, I care more about the bad guys living or dying than I care about the good guys right now, right? A big deal is made of this woman who is Cassian's, like, broker, who's setting up the deal. It is implied that they might have some sort of, I mean, at a
history.
Minimum, they're flirting. Turns out she's flirting with that other guy who's extremely jealous. But I didn't really feel they didn't really build that hint. Like, I'm like, are they trying to build this idea that Cassian and her name is Bix, that he and Bix have something going on? But the guy who turns Cassian in, he gets killed, right? And Bix is clearly very like, I'm like, wait. I'm like, does she like, I just felt like all that's a mess, and I didn't really care about them. Meanwhile, I was like, oh, this guy who I hate, who is the young security officer who sets the whole thing up, while I don't like him, that was the more compelling group of people getting killed. I didn't really care if Bix and her boyfriend got killed. They're throwaway characters. As you said, AJ, to me via text, all this doesn't matter because we know he gets off the planet. And I think, yeah, he gets off both planets. Both storylines,
right.
We know he's getting off the planet.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, because when the boyfriend died, I was like, good, he started this whole thing anyway. It's his fault.
Yeah, he's a jerk. It is his fault. He's a total jerk. It's his fault.
Like, I didn't understand why he, yeah, he turned him in. I mean, like, she clearly is into him. She shows up at his place. And then he still gets jealous and turns him in. It's like, come on, dude. Oh, you know what one of my favorite parts, though, was? Like, there was a lot of characters who I felt like if they had names, they weren't clear on what they were. Like, Bix is the only one that I could think of. But the guy at the salvage yard who he's friends with and asked to make up this, you know, the lie about going back to his place and getting drunk there and everything, I love
that
when he tied that engine block to the to the ship.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I was like, something's going to happen. Cause that's where he came out of the last time we saw him. And then you see him take off. I was like, yep. There we go.
Yeah.
That was great. But yeah, it's just like this entire story was maybe some of this comes back around later, but at face value right now, the entire story is to get Andor off of this planet and started on his journey to the Rebellion.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it really made no sense. Like, the boyfriend turning him in, like, that's some, like, it's like, I don't know, it's just all, in three episodes, it was too short a span to really understand it since we don't know any of these characters. There's really no character development in any of these characters. You know, you kind of get a sense that Andor have a history, whether it was romantic or just, you know, working together type of history. We don't really know what their history was, but they definitely have one. You know, we just don't have enough time or info. And that's, because we're short, you know. Longer than She-Hulk, but shorter than some of that. But you know what? I think Boba Fett was only, like, about this long, too, these Boba Fett episodes.
They were short,
But
I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead. How did you feel?
Well, I really felt, in particular, that Cassian's backstory on his planet, back with the name of the planet,
Canary.
Over the Flies planet, where you're right, it's not clear what. So there is some discussion in the corporate security office that this planet, like, oh, there was a terrible mining accident and it was left uninhabitable and nobody's ever been there again, right? It was not clear to me, did someone come and kill all the adults and the kids are there alone and that's the horrible accident? Or is it after these guys are killed by children, an army of children, like, is that the accident? But, like, none of that made sense. I also, it was at least half of both those two episodes were almost wordless, no English. When they speak in a language that is not subtitle on the screen for me to know what they're saying, right? It was fine. I could kind of tell
intentionally
what was going on. Right, right. And I could tell what was going on, but I thought there was a little too much for your average audience, and it was unnecessary. And I really was, I didn't love how it went down that Fiona Shaw shows up, and she abducts him. She basically abducts him from the planet, right? And I know it was framed as though she's like, look, the Empire's going to come and kill everyone. We have to save him. But I thought it was a little selfish. And I felt like she didn't save him. She abducted him. I don't know. Did you get any of that kind of vibe, or is that just me?
I'll be honest. You cared more than I did because I didn't care. Because we know she was going to get him off the planet. It didn't matter why she was doing it. I mean, I didn't give it enough thought, honestly. And if I have to think about it now, I could see both sides of it. I mean, clearly, I mean, he was still living with her when, you know, as an adult. So clearly she was his mother figure his entire,
well,
you know.
Well, where's he going to go? He was a kid and she kidnapped him.
Well, yeah.
And,
yeah, but,
and,
I mean,
you
yeah,
know,
but
he
was a rebellious kid. That, I mean, he was old enough he could have ran off as soon as they got the Fenix. I mean,
yes,
I don't know where he could have gone. I don't know how big Fenix is.
People come to love their kidnapper. We've seen that, right, in
well, yeah,
life and shows
yeah
or whatever. I mean, I just felt like, really? Are we being seen as for, like taking this child without any consent is, I don't know. Anyway, so then we have fast forward. AJ, why would he think his sister isn't, like, what? Like, apparently,
I don't know,
whatever happened on that planet, he can never speak of where he's from. Fiona Shaw is like, Mara? She's like, you didn't actually tell someone where you're from. Like, it's clear that he can never utter the name of this planet, right? And yet he shows up looking for a girl from this planet. I don't know why. If it's so horrible to say it, why would she say she's from there? Like, it just makes no sense why he ever, like, none of it, like,
yeah,
really, you could have dispensed with the first two episodes. You could have started in the first third episode of, like, I've got a piece of contraband to sell. Oh, no, the sale goes bad, and this guy offers me a chance off the planet, right? We could have started pretty much with the third episode. I've got a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
I want to sell it. This guy wants it, but it turns out he's actually recruiting for the, like, don't know. This is a show. This is another. I talked to a. So I was out tonight with someone who I had not met before in a group of people. Oh, you have a podcast tonight? Oh, what's it about? Oh, my God, I love all those shows. What do you think of Andor? And we started talking about it. And, you know, the conversation turned to, this is another show that didn't need to be made, and this is Disney trying to wring every last penny out of every gap in the Star Wars saga instead of taking a chance and writing a new chapter. Like, you bought it?
Yes.
Write it.
I agree. I mean,
instead of trying to
bring
money
things
out of a character that I forgot about. Like, when I think of Rogue One,
yeah,
Jyn Erso is the character
I
remember.
Jyn Erso. Yeah, it's funny. One of the guys at work and I were talking about it, and we were saying the same thing. Like, I'd watch a show about Jyn Erso. I might be a little excited for it because with what we know about her from Rogue One, it sounds like she had a pretty rough life, and it might be kind of fun to watch. Whereas Andor, the only thing we get from him is that speech, you know, at the end of the towards the end of the movie when he's like, when they're trying to convince them to do Jyn's plan and go to the planet to get the plans and everything. And he's like, you know, he's like, I've done some terrible things. We've all done a lot of bad things to get to this point. You know, don't make that all for nothing. You know, that's the extent of what we know about his history.
And
that's
the extent
thing. There's no
of what
K2SO
I care
in this whole thing.
Yeah.
K2SO, at least it might be better.
Yeah, and like, I thought Rogue One was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
I like Rogue One a lot.
I think it's a good movie and a really good self-contained story. And as you say, Jyn Erso,
but not because of Andor.
Star, right? And like, I'd love to be in that meeting in Disney when they're like, oh, let's do a Rogue One backstory. And instead of the really interesting female lead character getting a backstory, let's do the supporting male character who nobody cares about and give him a backstory instead. I guess because Diego Luna is hot. I don't know. I mean, nothing against Diego Luna. He's a competent actor. Then it's not his fault that he didn't write this, but
yeah,
like,
no, it's the character of Andor I don't care about.
Right? I mean, I wasn't really thinking about Jyn Erso's backstory either, but if I was going to wonder about that movie, it would be about, I never once in my mind thought,
right,
how did he come to be in the Rebellion?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, and that's
the
problem.
She was being raised by Forrest Whitaker. That could be really interesting, right?
Yeah. And not only that, but, I mean, Disney in general, what they're doing with these prequels and in between, it's like you said, they're trying to fill in all the gaps in between, and they get carried, they keep going like this. It's going to get problematic. I mean, Star Wars has never cared about retconning their own stuff because they've been doing it since George Lucas decided to the prequel trilogy. But it's going to get worse over time that you got to kind of rewrite shit to make it fit your current narrative. You know, I mean, I realize the galaxy is a big place, but they keep having people run into each other and visiting the same places. The two planets in Andor were both created for the show. These planets have never been mentioned before.
Oh yeah.
So there we go. There's something new. But if you want, I mean, like they've got this new show called The Acolyte, which is an original it's going to be original series. That's not a prequel. That's not a sequel. It's a new chapter of characters we don't know. You know what I mean? So there's some hope.
That's great.
But there's just But it's just, it seems like everything they keep trying to do is with characters that we don't, like, you know, let's do a series on, hey, remember that guy that Obi-Wan was talking to in the diner? Let's do a series about him. You know what I mean? Like, they're just picking random characters to do backstories and whatnot. I mean, you want to do more stories, why don't we jump ahead instead of going backwards all the damn time? You know,
how about we do some
shows about something between episode 6 and episode 7, you know, before we meet Rey and everybody, what happened the 20, 30 years there, You know, let's meet some people we haven't met before. We don't even have to meet people that are going to eventually get to the sequel trilogy. Just some stories. And guess what, people? There's an expanded universe out there that you can adapt to. You're blue in the face.
You can see Boba Fett. Boba Fett was really, I mean, talk about a fan favorite character. He was one of the first characters who was revealed, right? Even before Star Wars even came out in the movie theater. And people have always loved Boba Fett, and people have often wondered, does he survive the Sarlacc pit? Does he, you know, do this? Does he do that? Whatever. I could see them doing a Boba Fett story. Like, did they do a good job with it? No. I don't think they did Boba Fett justice, but I could see, let's try to squeeze some money out of Boba Fett. I do not understand the pitch meeting where they were like, let's squeeze some money out of Cassian Andor. Right?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
So. I don't know. I think it's 12 episodes,
like,
right? There's
I think it's 12.
There.
So we got nine left. I mean, now that he's off Fennec, maybe it does get better, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we just had to get through the sludge to get to a point where it, you know, it gets good. I don't know.
Yeah, and maybe we get to a point where maybe, unfortunately, as I said, to me the most interesting character right now is the corporate weasel who just fucked up his unauthorized mission, and I'd love to see, like that. I'd love to see what happens to that guy.
Which we may never see again.
And his boss maybe was like, what's the hell the matter with you, and throw him in jail or kill him or whatever, right? And that'd be the end of him.
But that's what I'm saying. We might not even ever see him again unless you're right, unless he's the type of person that, like, works their way up the Empire's ladder and we see him at a later date and he's like, I remember you, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
But who knows? So.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
go talk about the Targaryens.
Let's talk about the Targaryens. So this is the time jump. We jump 10 years and all of our characters
10 years.
Are aged. Some of our characters are, some of them have new actors. Some of them are the same with bad wigs. But things are changing. I liked this episode. We talked a lot about being worried about, but how we were going to miss the characters, the two actresses who created Rhaenyra and Alicent, and not really want to say goodbye to them. And I think that the two actresses who took over, to me, they're well cast. They make perfect sense. I really believe them as Alicent Rhaenyra. I like those two.
Yeah.
I have a lot of issues with this time jump and some of the things that happened here. But in general, it was pretty good. What did you think?
In general, I liked it. I thought it was very creative. I think the creators, they knew what they were getting into when they were going to have two different people play the age different characters. So I like how they try to, we start the episode with Rhaenyra having her third son, Joffrey. So I thought that was pretty good way to introduce the new actress, because it's pretty clear who she is right away. Like, there's no confusion who she's supposed to be. That was a creative way to do that. They did a really great job with the casting. They do resemble both actresses resemble the younger actresses very much. I say that I still miss the younger Rhaenyra a little bit. I gotta say one thing, we say a lot of different things about a lot of shows, but one thing that is true through everything is you have good writing when there is a character you really despise.
Who is?
And you just really want to... Kristen. He is such a bastard.
He is, But I had a conversation, again, with this person that I was talking to tonight about our podcast, and he was like, what'd you think about, you know, House of the Dragon? We talked about it. I we had a conversation about how we both don't feel that Kristen Cole's change of character is earned, and that it, to me, to both of us, came out of nowhere. Like, Kristen Cole was established as being really devoted to Rhaenyra, not just really in terms of romantic love, but he was devoted to her from the minute she put him on the Kingsguard. He talked about how he owes her everything. She gave his family everything, this and that, right? He has sex with her only reluctantly, really, I think, because he's so, like, into his Kingsguard and pure, he's set up as such a really good guy and whatever. And then we fast forward 10 years and he's really very bitter. And so first of all, I don't really understand why Allison would take into her inner circle a person who had previously been aligned to Rhaenyra. Like, I get why now, because he's obviously very bitter and angry, but he's been with Allison for immediately
for 10 years.
I'm like, why would Allison bring him in? Why is he such a jerk to her? Why is he so mad at Rhaenyra? Like, he loved her so much that he asked her to run away with him, and he was going to kill him. And she's like, look, really, I'm the queen. I'm going to be the queen. I'm sorry. I can't do that, right? And then he's going to kill himself over because he loves her so much. And now he's, like, going out of his way to, I mean, I guess he hates her. I guess he's bitter because she was like, I can't marry you. Was he really that naive? I just feel like his change of character is, I can't accept it as much as other people in the show. I don't know. You've read the book. You feel a little differently.
Well, we talked about this last week, actually, a little bit. We talked about this last week a little bit, actually, because the problem is the time jumps. We're watching it weekly. I mean, this 10-year time jump was a little easier, actually, because everybody was much older. You realize that there's an extended period of time that we don't have the gaps. You know, the gaps haven't been filled in for us. But, like, last week's episode was only, like, 6 months after the previous episode.
Every episode is jumped.
So with episode 4 and 5, while there's a 6 month jump, everybody looks the same. And it's harder to reconcile the fact that Kristen and Rhaenyra had been sleeping together for a while, and he's fallen in love with her and he wants to run away with her. And she's like, I'm not running away with you. What are you, crazy? I'll keep sleeping with you because I enjoy, you know, I like you a lot and I enjoy your company, but I'm going to be queen. This is not how this is going to, you know, and he loses his shit and he murders somebody in cold blood. Allison takes him. Well, no, because he made that snide comment about significant others.
I know, but he's not
right. So, I mean, so his, you know, so, you know, and I made the comment about him being a scorned lover, and it's kind of pathetic, actually, to see that 10 years later, he's still bitter over the way things ended with Rhaenyra, you know, and it didn't have to end that way. He let his, I don't know if he got his love for her or his pride got in the way, you know, that created the mess in the first place. She was, you know, more than willing to continue being with him while being married to Laenor, who she's never slept with, because she's homosexual.
And it's kind of his own fault because, like, you know, how many like real world relationships happen when they're like, oh, I know this person doesn't really love me, but if I just keep sleeping with them, I can eventually convince them, right? I'll just stay in this relationship and I'll convince them that they love me, right? And Sir Kristen doesn't go that route. He goes the total,
Yeah, and he's so bitter that he had, you know, I mean, that was such a low blow with, I can't think of his name right now, Long. You know, by saying that to him, that's something they need to do. They need to sit these women down and say, listen, if you're going to be unfaithful to your husband and pass your children off as his, dye their fucking hair. because, I mean, first Cersei, yeah. She had three kids. They were all blonde. Baratheons are all dark hair, but nobody questioned that. Here we go, you know, Rhaenyra. You got three kids. They all have dark hair. Meanwhile, your husband and yourself are both from Valyria with white hair, and none of your children have white hair. What the fuck is going on here? Like, it's
and
pretty damn obvious.
Yep. This is another conversation I had tonight. Like, the necessity of discarding everything we know about genetics. Like, everything I know in high school genetics tells me that this is ludicrous that okay, Rhaenyra has the blonde Targaryen hair. She sleeps with Lord Hightower, is his name? Her kids all
strong,
come out brown
strong.
Hair, right? Strong. Her kids
yeah,
all
strong.
Come out brown haired, right? But the king, Viserys, he's got Targaryen hair. His wife, Alicent, has red hair, dark red hair. Their kids all come out blonde, right?
Yep.
So is this show telling us that the blonde hair is passed on the male gene, and that's why? But meanwhile, later we see that Cersei has Lannister hair, not Targaryen hair, but whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, Alicent, you just got lucky to have three blonde kids. Right? But you're right out there being like, oh, having dark-haired kids, proof. Now, it's true. It's true that Rhaenyra's three sons were fathered by her Kingsguard, right? But
yeah.
The hair color is like a, I don't know. I'm like, really, Allison? You just got lucky
giveaway?
That your kids are all blonde, right? Or am I supposed to understand something different from the books or whatever?
Well, no, I mean, you're not incorrect with that. Because in that situation, yes, but in Rhaenyra's situation, her and her husband are both have the white hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her and Lena are both have white hair. So where the hell
yeah.
did the dark hair come from?
Yeah. And again, they don't understand genetics that if you had one drop of non-blonde hair in your past, right?
Yeah.
Like you both have blue eyes, have a kid with brown eyes, right? But we're not talking genetics on the show. I get that. But you're right, like,
yeah.
Laenor also has, like, the blonde hair, and
yep.
so the kids should all have blonde hair.
But, yeah, Kristen deserved that ass-whooping he took. And you know what
you
know the best part about all of it is?
The worst.
Yeah. Pisses me – I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's King's Landing and the way shit goes and everything. But Kristen murdered – that guy in cold blood. He murdered Laenor's boyfriend in cold blood. Nothing happened.
No
he became... But that's what I'm saying. But nothing happened. He became the queen's guard. He became the queen's personal guard. Okay? Strong beats the shit out of Kristen, and he's being shipped back to Highgarden.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why his father was doing it, because... everybody knows that he's been banging the queen or the princess. You know what I mean? I mean, to the point where his father is so, his father kind of reminds me, attitude wise. He's so noble. He reminds me of Ned, and somebody should tell him that in the future, when you're that noble, you lose your head.
Yes, because we've seen other people. If you're Otto Hightower, and your son is banging the queen, you use that, right?
No,
you're not.
No. Otto Hightower is Allison's dad. That's strong.
Yes.
That's a strong family.
Yes. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're Otto Hightower and you can push your daughter on, like,
I gotcha.
Pushed his daughter on the king, basically, you know, was like, you know, it was kind of gross what he did, right? To push her. And it was really not for Allison's benefit. So if you're Otto Hightower, you're like, oh, let me, my daughter is close to the king. Let me use this. But if you're, you know, the strong, like he's not the political player who could have used that, right? If you knew that your son was princess, you might try to use that to advance your family, right?
Right.
Not so in that family.
I got what you're saying. Yeah, now the younger son, now he's the manipulator. Holy crap. He killed his brother and his father in one failed firebomb.
So Lord Larys is in the book? Right? Is
yeah.
In the book? You've read the book. Okay, so I'm a little annoyed that his name is Lord Larys, and he's like and we had the original, you know, Game of Thrones has Lord Varys the spider, who's manipulated everything, and I'm like, is this guy really named Lord Larys, the guy who's like the major manipulator of the,
Yeah.
But he actually killed his father and had his father and brother killed because they were inconvenient to his relationship with the queen, right?
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that he cut out all the tongues because if you don't have a tongue, you can't rat.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll let you guys go, but you got to do this for me and I'm cutting your tongues out. Yeah, that was pretty... So when he comes back to Allison, and I was like, oh, there was a horrible father, and my brother and my father were killed, boo-hoo, right? And the look of horror on Allison's face when she understands what he's just done, right? And she's like, I didn't ask you to do that, I didn't want you to do that, and he's like, well, you kind of did, right? And she looks horrified, and I had a disagreement with someone when I talked about this, and I was like, oh, Allison, like, she didn't mean that. She's in over her head. She's horrified. And this person felt like, she kind of isn't. Like, in the 10 years that we didn't see her, she's become a much more ambitious and manipulative person. And was she really that surprised and horrified? And was she in over her head, or was she like, oh, I just need to be a little more careful with this guy? I don't know.
She's not in over her head, but I do feel like she was surprised. She was definitely surprised that he went those lengths, and I don't think that's what her intentions were, but she's also going to turn a blind eye towards it. She's going to continue using Larys to her advantage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how horrified is she really, you know? She's definitely not in over her head. She's, you know, like 10 years. I mean, from the minute Joffrey's born and she wants to see the baby immediately. I mean, that from that minute right there, before we even see Allison for the first time, I was like, oh, she is just completely, lost her mind. What did you think about the kids in the dragon pit? I liked that a lot. That was fun.
It was fun, and, I mean, it was a great way to play out. So I understand that there's another set of actors. We're going to see all these kids aged. Pretty much almost all of these child actors are going to be aged in another couple of weeks on the show. We'll get another time jump.
There's only two episodes left.
Well, maybe it's next. They're already cast.
It's eight,
it might
right?
be the last episode, or is it eight?
See, I see. At this rate, we're only getting two seasons of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know where the story goes, and we kind of all. I mean, if you
read I can't
a lot
wait
of
to get
Thrones,
there,
you,
but
you kind
Jesus.
Of know where it's going, right?
Yeah, I know where it's going, but I also can't. I can't wait to get there. Because I think it's going to be awesome, but at the same time, I'd like to wait. It's like, holy crap.
Some of these kids are going to be aged one more time, I think. I mean, some of them are pretty little, right? At any rate, I did like that scene in the Dragon Pit. I did like the way they were like, you know, they're mean to each other. And I mean, it was kind of played as, like, Allison's kids being mean to Rhaenyra's kids, but on the other hand, like, I didn't always, like, Allison's kids are the bigger kids, and they're just going to be meaner to the younger kids, because that's the way kids are, right? But I think it also did show personality flaws. right?
Well,
like Aegon's a dick and a wuss.
Yeah, Aegon punked his brother with a pig.
Yeah, of course, also his rival, though. It's his brother, but Rhaenyra's oldest son, right? It's his rival for the throne also. His half-brother and his rival to the throne.
Wait, what? No, Aegon and Aemon are full brothers. They're both Alicent's kids. The ones in green are full brothers.
Oh, right. They're both out. Yeah, but, they're both full brothers out.
Yeah.
And that's who he punked.
Yeah, with pig. And
he did it with
Jace. So
with Jace, yeah. Jace
him and Jace,
yeah.
They got along pretty good until their sword training.
Yeah. I mean, that can't last for that long. I think the best part of the flash forward was, I mean, I think they aged Alison and Rhaenyra well, and they've shown, like, the person Alison has become. Like, when we last saw Alison, like, she was trapped in a loveless marriage, but she gets to be the queen, but she wasn't really inhabiting the role of the queen. And 10 years later, she is the queen. She's lording it over everyone. She's using it. She's loving it. She's in a really different place. And Rhaenyra is a little bit, I mean, she's subservient. Like, there was a time when Alicent would not summon Rhaenyra and Rhaenyra wouldn't come. But we see, like, Rhaenyra's like, oh, shit, I got to go see the bitch. Let me make her sure she's, right? Like, she's a little more subservient in the way she's supposed to be.
You know what's funny is how she talks about, you know, when Rhaenyra makes the offer of marrying their kids together to make the house stronger because they're all family and everything. And I thought it was funny how Alicent is like, you know, telling the king, like, over my, you know, you can do whatever you want when I'm cold and in my grave. And although damn well, he ain't gonna outlive her. Especially considering their age difference, aside from the fact that he's already got one foot in the grave. But I just thought it was so funny how she talks down about the Strong family, yet had her father not manipulated her into the king's bed, she'd be no more of a class, you know what I mean? Like, her father is the same level of class as the Strong family, maybe less so even, because the father was the hand, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny when you get to that point, you know, and Alicent, as a younger person, hadn't been looking down at people like that. So the last 10 years, she's definitely gotten meaner. Like, I would love to see Alicent get hers.
I would also.
There's a couple people I'd love to see to get theirs.
Yep. And I'd like to see her get hers because, like, there's this element of it where they're like, you know, Alicent is like, oh, Aegon, loser and a wuss, right? She's like, you understand that, like, you're a threat to Rhaenyra's children. And he's like, oh, my aunt would never kill me, whatever. And she's like, are you kidding me? Like they're playing a part of it as though Alicent is really just afraid for her children. But I think she also has become ambitious and cold and, like, a lot more like her father than she ever was. Like, is she really just – she knows her son is not an appropriate king, right? She's not really just worried about that. And I'm not sure she has reason to believe that Rhaenyra would kill those children, at least not right now, right?
Right.
Like, she's not going to be like, I'm the queen, I'm killing them to secure my role. I mean, could it happen if there was a civil war? Yes, Rhaenyra could be forced to do that. But I'm not sure Alicent, although, you know, she's had people whispering in her ear and making her think this. But yeah, let's see her get hers. She reminds me of Marjorie, probably because she looks like Marjorie. Marjorie was also a giant bitch who I wasn't sorry to see her die either, right? Also manipulated by her father, Marjorie.
What was wrong with Marjorie?
What
was wrong with Marjorie?
Like, in Game of Thrones, I didn't like Margaery. I thought she was kind of a little bitch. I thought she was not a nice person. I thought she was acting a lot. I thought she was, but she also was a young woman belated by her father into a loveless marriage with a not appropriate spouse, right? Who then had to harden herself to survive.
Well, yeah, I mean, Joffrey was...
well, was
who would want to be married to Joffrey?
He was much more horrible.
But then she was married to Tommen. And Tommen was wonderful.
Yeah, that's
but then he killed himself
yeah,
because...
Yes, because he was like a tiny little child. Yeah. But yeah, Allison... then, of course, Allison has betrayed or forsaken our heroine, Rhaenyra. Right? Rhaenyra is the person that we're all pulling for on the show. So, go get Rhaenyra. We're not going to like you.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, and Viserys is the he's such a good king. I mean, the show starts with the choice between him and Rhaena, and he gets chosen because he's the male. You know, and he's really been a good king. You know what I mean? Like he's very, for as kings go, he's very forgiving, you know, and he's like when, you know, and yeah, he, does he turn a blind eye about shit to Rhaenyra? Absolutely. But it's going to be, you know, it's funny in this, you know, I mean, this is the prequel, but in the grand scheme of the Game of Thrones world that we've seen on television, I mean, he's definitely, hands down, probably the best king that we've witnessed. I mean, Robert was just a drunken fool. There was a Mad King, of course, you know. Dany never actually got to the throne, you know. I mean, we had Cersei and Joffrey and... God, you know, with everything that we've seen and heard, you know, even just for the people we've heard about, he's been really great to watch. Like, I've enjoyed him.
Well, I mean, as a
he's
king,
at a point
I think...
Why? Go ahead.
Well, I think he takes his duty very seriously, and he's not like a lot of kings who are worried about consolidating their power and remaining in power for the sake of power and the sake of what they get, whereas Viserys is really, I think he really cares about being the king and caretaking the realm and that kind of thing, right? And he may be the first and the last king we see in Game of Thrones who is like that. We don't really see a lot of people in Game of Thrones who are really that committed to their role or their calling or whatever, and not just to themselves.
See, I actually wonder what their plans are. I mean, I know there's a million other spinoffs that they're going to do. But I wonder how far they're actually going to go with, because, I mean, this confined story here, it has no more than the way they're progressing, it has a season at most. Like, so we get second season. But then does the third season, so they can... You know, I'm curious. I don't know what their plans are, if they're ending with Dance of Dragons or if they're going to continue on with what happened after that. That's what I'm not sure about. Because if they're just leading up to the Dance of Dragons, then it's two seasons and we're done. And then they move on to the next spinoff.
Well, they do. I mean, they have a bunch of spinoffs coming for sure. I mean, where do you go after the Dance of Dragons? I mean, that's a huge climactic thing, right? And then...
Yeah, I mean, there's more story after it. It's just not as interesting.
Yeah, and, like, do we want to watch three generations until Daenerys is born? Like, no. Not all that interesting, yeah.
No. So. Oh, and there's also the Daemon storyline.
Oh, the Daemon storyline. So Daemon is married and has kids. He's married to Lena. Lena, that's her name, right?
Yeah. Lena.
She's the sister of Leonor. She's actually the girl that at one point it was proposed that Viserys should marry her when she was like 12. Remember?
Right.
I mean, she's a great. I liked her a lot. I thought she was a great advisor to Daemon, and she made a lot of sense. And Daemon doesn't want to hear it. Daemon did seem a little subdued in this episode.
Daemon definitely seems like the years have really made him down. He seems like he's going through the motions at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we saw him, he was at Dragonstone. In this episode, Rhaenyra was like, all right, let's go to Dragonstone. Let's get the hell out of Dodge. We can't stay here, right? We'll go to Dragonstone. But last time we saw Daemon, Dragonstone was his seat, right? And he had that place. And they now are living in, they're in the southern, whatever
they're
you call
in
them,
Dorne.
Southern nation. They're in Dorne. I mean, they talked about Sunspear.
I'm
not sure if they were in Dorne or they were somewhere around there. I don't know. I thought they weren't in Dorne. I thought they were in Pentos, but whatever. They're in some of the outer, you know, on the far side of the sea. In exile.
Well, Pentos is in Essos.
It's in Essos.
Somebody did say something about somebody did say something about Pentos in the episode, so I could be wrong, but I thought that, because they did mention Dorne also, and I thought that's where they were, because they're talking about the triumvirate, is that what they call them?
The Triarchy,
thank you. They were talking about the Triarchy and Dorne creating an alliance. And Triarchy is who Daemon was talking. So maybe I got confused with my look. Maybe they were, but you're right. Somebody did say something about Pentos.
I thought they were in Pentos, and there was a conversation like Dorne is getting too powerful. We need to like talk to Sunspear. Should we betroth our child to someone at Sunspear? That kind of thing. I thought was that what that was about. I could be wrong.
No, you could be right, and I could have misinterpreted it. But the big story there was that she's having trouble giving birth to their third child, and she decides a Viking funeral is the way to go.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong, maybe. There's that moment where they're basically reliving that scene that we saw with Viserys and Aemma early in the series, where the doctor is like, or the maester is like, oh, we can't save her, probably. But we could, you know, take the kid. We could cut her open and take the kid out. And Daemon says, what about the mother? And they're like, oh, well, she'll totally die. And he never says anything. Like, right? Like,
yeah, he never gives an answer. They cut away.
They cut away. Would Daemon have, probably, right? Like,
you know, I felt like it was intentional, but I felt like in the scene, in the moment, I felt like there was genuine concern for her from him. You know, like, I feel like he was asking about her because he didn't want her to die.
Yes, and I felt
That's how I felt it was.
I felt like they were a pretty okay couple. Like, we've seen Daemon be very dismissive, right? I've seen him be very dismissive towards women in general, not just the women that he, you know, but I've seen him not be that great towards women, even towards Rhaenyra. I mean, we know that that story, basically, he's been grooming her since she was a child. That's kind of a disturbing story, but whatever. I thought they were great in part because Lena, like, she stood up to Daemon. She was a good personality match, and I felt like he liked her, considered her more than his previous wife, wherever she came from, right? Obviously, he hated the woman who was wife before, but she was, like, Lena was a good match, right? Temperamentally and personality-wise, she seemed to be a good yeah. to the wife, be able to hold her own and push him around a little bit. And I'm not sure he would have decided to kill her and take the baby. They already have two kids, right? That wasn't their first kid. They had one kid, two kids.
Yeah. They have two kids.
I'm not sure he wouldn't have saved her, except that we know that what he wants is Rhaenyra, that he's been like, he wants Rhaenyra. And his wife is an obstacle to that. So if she conveniently died, maybe he's okay with that. I don't know.
So is her brother. So is Laenor. Laenor is an obstacle too.
Yeah. One thing at a time. One murder at a time. He didn't have to murder her. She took her own life.
Yeah. Which, my big question now is, does her oldest child inherit the dragon?
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like the dragon is bound to you, right? Like, we've seen that going on in this episode where some of the children...
Well, no, dragons definitely... Well, no, dragons will definitely take another rider. But maybe that's the thing. Only if it's... I think this is maybe the dragon has to choose the new rider, though.
The wand chooses the wizard, right? Like, I think you don't just... I mean, we did see in this episode the scenes in the dragon pit where it does seem that the dragon instructor was trying to teach the children how to, make the dragon like you, bend the dragon to your will, how to connect with the dragon that doesn't like.
Right.
Like, there seemed to be some.
Well, that's different. Well, yeah, I mean, in that case, those are the eggs. The eggs hatch. And the kids get, have their dragon. That's why that's why Aemon doesn't have a dragon yet, because his egg is never hatched.
Well, and if the egg would hatch in your crib with you while you're a baby in the crib, then you're 100%, you and your dragon are, like, totally connected forever. Like, that's your best bet.
And then, but when a dragon already has a rider and that the rider dies, I can't remember if the dragon is inherited by someone or if the dragon chooses its next rider. Because let's just say there's another character that should probably die this, maybe not this season. Well, I don't know how quick they're going to jump through. There's another character in the show that's going to die. And I know their dragon is going to become the dragon of somebody else. So.
Okay, but probably the dragon doesn't just turn its head and the next person that lays its eyes on it's like, woo, you're my new person, right? Like, they're like more.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, I think we might have, like, talked ourselves out on it, but pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, this show in general is better than I expected.
Yeah, it continues to impress.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. So we'll see what happens.
All righty.
We'll
do it again next week. Same shows.
Sure.
And, hold on. Oh, maybe not. I got to double check if my calendar would open. No, I don't. You know what? I'm just going to Google right now. American Horror Story. I know it's coming soon, but I don't know if it's this Sunday or the following Sunday. I'm going to look right now. So let's see, AHS season 11, and that's not helping me at all.
All right.
Oh, there we go. So it premieres. Wow, this has been already, there's 119 episodes. Oh, maybe not. October 19th. Okay, so October 19th.
Okay. 3 weeks.
So it is a couple weeks off.
All right, we'll keep our eyes on that.
It's coming soon. I just can't remember when.
Yeah. All righty then.
So next week we'll have Resident Alien finale, and then all the rest of the same shows. And
as far as I know, there's nothing else we have coming before AHS, but I could be wrong. So, anyway.
All right.
Enjoy your week.
Great show. Enjoy your week.
Talk to you later.
Working a lot, yeah.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. As usual, we had a grand time. Hope you had a grand time listening to us.
Bye-bye.
Good night.